Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, everybody, Mike Heck here from MMAfighting.com. And every once in a while, I think to myself, you know, it's going to be a busy couple of days. I'm going to get some decent sleep tonight, finish my shift, brush my teeth, wash my face, go to sleep around 10:45 Eastern time. And I slept like a baby. So a little update on that. But I wake up and my phone had gone absolutely crazy with a flurry of news. The lightweight division has taken a massive step with the official retirement of Khabib Nurmagomedov. UFC president Dana White essentially waved the white flag on trying to convince Khabib to get that elusive 30-0. So after all the quote-unquote decisions, meetings, dinners, updates, etc., nothing changed since UFC 254 in October when Khabib submitted Justin Gaethje in the main event to retain his title. But let me just say, I understand why Dana White was trying to get Khabib back in the fold. He's obviously become one of the biggest stars in the sport. The appreciation for Khabib's ability, his incredible talent has risen to massive heights over the last couple of years, and rightfully so. But just hearing what Khabib had to say after the win against Justin Gaethje in October, making a promise to his mom that he was done after the passing of his father, who he was really close to, it just seemed like his decision was made back then. But you know, he wanted to give Dana the opportunity to say his piece, and that's it. Khabib's a company guy. He's a professional, and he now retires as the lightweight champion of the world, undefeated. And now the title is, I wouldn't say officially vacated, but we will have a new champion crowned hopefully on May 15th in the main event of UFC 262 when Michael Chandler and Charles Oliveira will battle it out. So we got a lot of news concerning the UFC's lightweight division. We got a lot of news concerning the UFC's bantamweight division. More on that a little bit later on. But right now, to discuss a soon-to-be new era in the most interesting division in the UFC right now, the lightweight division, let us welcome in my good friend, the Prince of Positivity, Alex K. Lee. How are you, my friend?
News. News. News is happening, Mike. What? Where did all this come from? If anyone on the East Coast went to bed at a reasonable time on Thursday night, they missed everything. They have all this. Everything you just mentioned did not find out until this morning. I was up. I saw it, but I'm trying to imagine how many people just woke up and were like, what? Like, what? What's going on? Garbrandt? What? Dillashaw? What? Khabib? Wait, wasn't he already retired? What's going on? Amazing. Just an amazing, amazing late Thursday evening news dump. And I'm very excited to talk about it and sort of sort through it.
All right. Well, let us start with Khabib Nurmagomedov, AK. Dana White made it official last night. He spoke with Khabib. Khabib sticking to his guns. He's not coming back, and the division will move forward without him as a fighter. Of course, his presence will be felt as a coach and a corner man. But on a scale of 1 to 10, AK, how surprised were you by this news and Dana basically saying, I tried, but it's just not happening?
I'll go like a 1 or a 2. I'm with most people. No, I'm with most people who said, and look, as we were putting together, or I should say our team, I wrote maybe one thing, but our amazing team was putting together some of the stories last night. It was kind of weird how to phrase it. It's like, it's not an announcement of retirement. We had the announcement of the retirement months ago in October. It's sort of a confirmation, or at least a Dana White announcement. Dana White announces, I am no longer pursuing a comeback for someone else, which is an insane statement. I mean, grammatically, it's a nightmare, but that is what happened, isn't it? I mean, that kind of is what happened in our sport. Given all the news, anyone who's kept up with the drama, it has been like every week some update of Dana White going, I'm not done yet, or saying, I'm giving up. And then literally like 2 days later in another interview saying, I know I said I was giving up, but I got a text from Khabib the other day that made me think, maybe I shouldn't give up. And then Khabib himself, you know, put out that something on Twitter saying like, oh, I'm meeting up with Lorenzo Fertitta, and send his classic send location quote. And people got all excited again. But I don't think he was ever meant to tease that he was actually going to fight again. You know, it was just he was in Vegas and meeting up with his business partners. And like I said, probably wanting to make it very, very clear that it's over. I would really like to know what it is that Khabib said this time that made Dana say, oh, okay, now you're, because Dana has said in interviews, he's never really told me flat out that he's done. But so many of the public statements weren't they saying Khabib was done? So maybe he had to say it to Dana's face. I don't know. That's the only confusing part for me. But no, not particularly surprising. Very low on the scale. A 2 at most.
Yeah, I know Dana's thing was, well, he never said, like, stop asking me about it. And that was, like, kind of the point of contention with Dana, like, wanting to pursue this. But I'm curious, like, with all this coming out, like, do you think, honestly, anything would have enticed him to come back for one more? Like, I know Tony Ferguson fighting Charles Oliveira, like, had he won that fight, people were thinking, the one that got away, maybe there's a chance. And then there's Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier, too. Like, maybe if Conor won, massive, massive fight. I'd say doubtful, but maybe for the kind of money that one would have made, possibly. Maybe Charles Oliveira. I mean, it seemed like that one was steak, but it didn't really have the sizzle on it. Like, the competitor in Khabib liked that fight, but all things considered, didn't really check all the boxes. And then there was the looming George St. Pierre possibility, which in my eyes, it didn't seem like anything was ever going to come from that idea from either side. So, I mean, do you honestly think anything could have convinced Khabib, AK, to shoot for the big 3-0?
It would have been GSP. It would have been both guys having to get paid eight figures, show money at least, plus whatever, you know, pay-per-view bonuses, whatever other incentives they could throw in there. So it'd be a huge payday. It had to be a huge, huge payday for both guys. It probably would have had to been at least like 18 months ago. I think if it had realistically been floated this year, I don't think GSP would have gone for it. I think he might be. I think this year is kind of like, you know, he's done a lot of interviews and it's just like, I'm pretty much done. But 18 months ago, 2 years ago, that was probably your window. Now I can't imagine that was even realistic. But that's what would have been it. Eight figure deal for both guys, a lot of money, and a legacy fight. Probably either at, again, probably a 170. Do a catch weight. I know Dana White hates those, but that would have been a big money thing. But again, UFC and the Dana White, I don't think they were ever realistically entertaining that. I think the cost was just too high. And there was a fair point, or if it was done at lightweight, what do you do if GSP wins the belt and retires again and, you know, leaves the lightweight? So there were reasons not to make it happen, but that would have been the one to do it. I am of the theory, though, Mike, that he will fight again someday. I just think right now, he's 32. I just think right now there is not there's no reason for him to stick around and just take fights that don't interest him. So I think there's plenty of time for him to come back. If I had to bet, I say Khabib Nurmagomedov will fight again someday. But it won't be for at least like 2 years. And the UFC and the lightweight landscape will look very, very, very different by then.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. So with this, Khabib will move on. He will eventually no longer be the champion. I'm not really sure how that works right now, but normally in these situations, it's like once the first punch is thrown in the Michael Chandler versus Charles Oliveira fight, then the title will be vacant and whoever wins that fight at UFC 262 will become the new champion. So kind of talking about this new main event, AK, it seemed like with the pieces that we've seen put in place, this was a 3-man race. This was Oliveira. This was Michael Chandler. This was Justin Gaethje, especially with Dustin Poirier and Conor McGregor seemingly tied up for their trilogy fight whenever that happens, possibly this summer. What are your thoughts on this piece of business, the UFC going with Chandler versus Oliveira to crown a new champion?
I love it. I love it. I love it. I would have had, you know, for me, I think Poirier should have been in any match, but he has made it clear that he wants that McGregor trilogy, which, as we know, could end up being more lucrative than a vacant lightweight title fight. So no one to blame here. If there's any Poirier fans there who are like, oh, why didn't you know, how they screwed him? And it's like, nah, he wanted this. I think, I'm sure he's told the UFC, he's told McGregor's team, let's work this out. They want to fight in the summer. It might be a little bit later than that, but that is what they want. And for perfectly good reason. And Charles Oliveira and Chandler, this is the next logical matchup. I think the UFC, the matchmakers, the managers, everyone involved here, I think they did a great job. I know we have a tendency to nitpick these things. And again, I could easily, again, complain, oh, why not Poirier versus Oliveira, what have you. But this is what seems to be what everybody wanted. And Chandler, he's like maybe the biggest winner in all this because, yes, it's great for Oliveira that he got this title shot after, you know, probably deserving it for a while. But for Chandler to just come from Bellator and get that one win and cut a big promo and take advantage of all the push that the UFC has given him, he did an amazing job. And the fact that he could be the UFC lightweight champion come May 15th, the evening of May 15th, it sounds crazy. It sounds a little crazy if you mentioned this like a year ago, but I'm sure if you asked Michael Chandler, he would tell you this is fate. It's fait accompli. He knew that this day would come, and he's getting a shot. It's great.
So what do we do with Justin Gaethje then? Because reports are surfacing that the UFC was working on Gaethje versus Chandler. The UFC obviously called an audible, and Gaethje is kind of the odd man out of this equation. What do we do with him right now? Because this seems to be the big question right now.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, again, I know if you're Gaethje, you know, you've had this career where you pretty much fight whoever, whenever. But, you know, again, him and his team have kind of realized his value, kind of as how big of a star he's become. So they could stand to be a little picky. I'm looking at some of the names here. I just hit up the rankings right now. RDA, what's up with RDA?
Nothing
official yet? Nothing official yet, right? I like that. I guess Makhachev is the one that they think that could happen there. And I have no problem with that matchup either. So I don't know, maybe Gaethje gets left out again. But I've been campaigning for an RDA Gaethje fight for a while. So that I would like to see. Otherwise, yeah, he kind of has to wait. I'm just looking at something. Ally Quinta's always waiting in the wings. I know that's a matchup a lot of people would like to see. I still feel like he has a name. I still feel like when he comes back, it would be a big deal. So I think that's an option for Gaethje as well. But other than that, it is funny that for a lot of people who are saying he could have been one of the names competing for a vacant title, now he finds himself not only waiting, but maybe having to win to stay in that conversation. So yeah, I'm very surprised at that. But look, he is coming off a loss, if we're being realistic. And while no one would have a problem with him fighting for the title, I think there's good matchups out there. Like I said, I think RDA, I think Ally Quinta, I think either of those would be really fun, winnable fights for him, and stuff that would make him the number one contender with a victory.
Well, we wish Khabib the best. He's obviously still going to be around, like we said, cornering fighters. Maybe he can help mold the aforementioned Islam Makhachev into a future lightweight champion in his own right. But May 15th, we will hopefully have a new lightweight title holder, and we can go from there. All right, now, we also got big news in the 135-pound division. We're still waiting for the rematch between Piotr Jan and Aljamain Sterling to be booked. From what I've been told, the UFC was hoping to run that one back on May 15th. On the same card with Oliveira and Chandler. It still could happen, but it all depends on when Aljamain Sterling would be cleared from the concussion. But regardless, the rest of the division will shape up quite a bit. While we await that announcement, we found out last night that TJ Dillashaw returns to action for the first time since his USADA suspension. He will face Corey Sandhagen in the main event on May 8th. And then 2 weeks later, Rob Font is going to fight Cody Garbrandt in the main event on May 22nd. So we have 10 potential rounds unbelievable action at 135 pounds. I love both of these fights, AK. Your reaction to these two headliners at 135 pounds in May?
Bantamweights! Oh, bantamweights, so good. It's so good. It's so good. And Mike, a lot of our you know, we did the matchmaking show, a lot of our sort of future like excitement for the division was kind of the hopes that Garbrandt would stick around, because, you know, there was a lot of talk that he was supposed to get the flyweight title shot. So, you know, why not, if, you know, him and his team, why not just stay in that lane, wait to see how things shake out, and maybe you're still the number one contender and you get that flyweight title shot anyway. But they're doing the right thing here, especially for Rob Font, who has been calling for and has deserved a really, really, really big name. And he's getting in Garbrandt. It's an awesome fight style-wise. It's great for both guys. I think Garbrandt, like I said, even though Garbrandt might be passing up on a flyweight title opportunity, we don't know what that situation is. Even if he is, I think this is great for him because, again, he has to remind people how good he is. I know the UFC is always pushing him. I know he's active on social media. I know he has a pretty hardcore fan base, but this is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately sport. And if he can beat Rob Font, who has been one of the best, you know, bantamweights over the last year, then you can't deny him. You know, a lot of people, again, weren't sure why he was getting a flyweight title shot. Why did he get the bantamweight rematch with TJ right away? With this win and his last appearance, then people will be like, okay, now we really, really, really want to see this guy get another title shot. He deserves it. He's an exciting fighter. So I love that. And TJ Dillashaw did the right thing too. Taking a fight before just jumping into a title shot and fighting a guy who, you know, probably should be getting a title shot anyway, and Corey Sandhagen, but who also would love to fight TJ Dillashaw. So, Mike, this is weird. You know, we usually do these reactions and we have a lot of fun bashing the UFC and their decision making, but matchmakers did some good on Thursday, didn't they? I mean, I honestly cannot criticize these matchups.
Do you think this is like maybe a mini tournament? Is this a, you know, go impress me kid kind of a thing? Or, I mean, I look at it as Sandhagen, Dillashaw, the next number one contender, Font Garbrandt on deck, maybe vice versa. Like, where are you looking at? I think Sandhagen, Dillashaw, number one contender. But if, you know, if Rob Font does what he did against Mauro Moraes to Cody Garbrandt, and then Sandhagen and Dillashaw have like a 5-round really close decision, could Rob Font jump the queue here? Like, how do you see this all working right now with what we see on paper?
Yeah, if you're Dana White in the UFC, you're definitely favoring whoever gets a big finish. You know what I mean? Whether it be Dillashaw, whether it be Sandhagen, whether it be Font, whether it be Garbrandt, right? Yeah, even given that Dillashaw and Sandhagen should be in the, ahead of both Garbrandt and Font in the rankings, a huge knockout, like Cody Garbrandt, 35-second knockout or something, or Rob Font, 35-second knockout, that'll leapfrog him over. That'll leapfrog him over. The good news is, I still don't think whoever wins has to fight again. I mean, you know, we know with all the delays that can happen with these title fights, they won't want to stay on the shelf for too long. But fingers crossed, at my most optimistic, if everyone's healthy again, they're both fighting in May. Whoever, you know, either the winners of both fights, whoever, one of them gets the shot, the other one maybe has to wait 6 months to fight again, but should get a title fight immediately. Whether they want to wait that long, who knows? Again, and whether they have to wait longer if there's injuries, delays, withdrawals, surprise Ultimate Fighter coaching positions offered, then they'll probably fight again. But otherwise, I feel like this is number one contender bout 1A and number one contender bout 1B. So hopefully the winners of both fights just get their shot and don't have to wait too long.
Can you think of a more exciting three or so month stretch covering the sport, AK? Like, we have at least 7 title fights coming up between now and June 12th. We're going to move forward a bit at 155. We got some questions to be answered at 135 that hopefully will be answered. PFL's coming back. Bellator's coming back. This is unbelievable, AK. Like, this is a stretch that we need to cherish, right? But we need to kind of like bubble wrap it while we're at it, right?
Yeah, I think if we do our recap of like the biggest story, like I was just the other day, I was thinking of like, man, when we do the, you know, recap biggest stories of 2021, it's already going to be like you could just take these first 4 months and do a whole article on that. Like, it's already loaded. But Mike, you didn't even mention Fight Circus coming back in April. Calf Kick Mania, Illegal Knee Mania that we've seen, the illegal knee controversies that we've had. Hans Mollenkamp becoming a guy now, Frank Mir, the Triller, pro boxing, you know, it's Ben Askren pro boxing. Like, you are right. I think, you know, I have the memory of a goldfish, so I couldn't like pick some random 4 month block of the last like 20 years and be like, oh no, well, this 4 month block had way more news. I'm sure there was something with McGregor. I'm sure if we find some McGregor news cycle thing, we could find it. But outside of that, I mean, no, this is easily like the most packed thing. Again, just judging by last night, you know, we kind of started by mentioning all the stuff that happened last night. All of that was kind of the culmination of storylines that have been bubbling for months, for like these last few months, first few months of 2021, as you mentioned. And then just suddenly, boom, all kind of being resolved at once, resolved slash taken, you know, to the next step of their storyline, of their narrative. So yeah, it's wild. I can't imagine that the rest of 2021 will be as eventful. But I feel like we said stuff about that in 2020 as well. And we all remember what an S show that was, not just in the UFC, but in general.
I didn't even think about April 17th and all that craziness, the middleweight division. I mean, just there's just so much happening right now. Like, if you are a fan of the sport, get excited. Now, will all of these things happen? I don't know. Hopefully they do. Knock on some wood. But if everything goes down according to plan right now, this is absolutely insane scheduling. I can't wait for it. But clearly, when they say don't blink in MMA, it doesn't just mean in the cage. It means out of it as well, on the MMA beat, quote unquote. So much going on. But a crazy night of news recapped for your viewing and listening pleasure as we get ready for UFC Vegas 22 tomorrow night, where, of course, we'll have a preview show. We'll have a pre-fight show 30 minutes before the event and our post-fight show after Derek Brunson and Kevin Holland do their thing at 185 pounds. With that said, for Alex Kaley, I am Mike Heck. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you later on, my friends.